You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It starts like most childhood memories do, with a new house, a strange neighborhood, and a family trying to stitch itself back together. But buried beneath the routines of school mornings, barking dogs, and bedtime television, something else was watching. They say some children are just more sensitive, tuned to the frequencies the rest of us can't hear. But what if that sensitivity is a beacon to things not entirely human? Tonight we bring you the story of a boy who didn't go looking for the paranormal, but who may have been born with a gift that called it to him anyway. It began with cold hands, unsettling dreams, and flickers of shadow just out of frame. But what followed went far beyond creaking floors and flickering lights. Was it a demon, a spirit, or something that attached itself to him long before the family even moved in? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Tony, I don't know where to start exactly. I've never really told anyone the whole story. Not like this. Maybe because people don't believe me, or maybe because talking about it makes it feel too real. But I've listened to your show long enough to know I'm not the only one who's gone through something like this. I was around 7 when we moved to that place, Red Willow, Missouri. Small town, barely a blip on the map. The house wasn't anything special. Just a single story with 3 bedrooms and a creaky back porch. My mom said we were lucky to get it, but something about it always felt too quiet. Like the house was holding its breath. There were 6 of us at the time, me, my mom, and 3 of my siblings. Divorce had split us up. My 2 older siblings lived with our dad. And we tried to pretend that didn't bother us, but it hung in the air. We had 2 dogs, Lucy and Bishop. They were my safety net. I know that sounds weird, but I could always tell when something wasn't right by how they acted. Animals just know, you know? At first, it was little things. Lights flickering, stuff moved around. My mom would blame us kids. "Stop playing games," she'd say. But none of us were. One time, the salt shaker moved from the counter to the microwave while I was brushing my teeth. I remember that night because I got blamed and grounded for it. But it wasn't me, and I knew it wouldn't be the last time. Still, for a while, it was manageable. Just odd stuff, annoying, creepy sometimes, but not threatening. I'd have weird dreams here and there, nothing terrifying, just strange. I'd wake up with a pressure in my chest or feel like someone was standing over me. But there was never anyone there. But then something changed. I must have been around 10. My younger brother Caleb was standing by the window one morning, shaking his head real slow. I asked what he was looking at, and he just said, "Did you see the red eyes?" I laughed, thinking he was making it up. But he didn't laugh back. He just walked away. That was the first time I noticed it, this feeling of being watched. Not just in the house, but outside, too. It felt like the trees were watching. Like something just beyond the tree line was waiting for me to look the other way. And then, my hands started going cold. Not just a chill, I mean cold, freezing. I could sit on them for 10 minutes and they'd still feel like ice. The weird part, it only happened when I felt that presence nearby. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and know it was around just from how cold my hands were. One night, I still remember the time exactly. It was 3:05 a.m. I woke up to this soft tapping, not on my door, not from the hallway, from my window. We were 10 feet off the ground, no porch, no tree limbs close enough. I sat up in bed, and that's when I heard the growl. It was low and guttural, not loud, but enough to freeze me in place. I forced myself to get up and looked through the blinds. And that's when I saw it. A figure, standing in the air outside my window. It wasn't floating. It wasn't flying. It was just there. Red eyes, no mouth, and horns that curved inward toward its face. We stared at each other for maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute. I don't know. But it felt like a lifetime. I didn't move. It didn't move. Then I blinked and it was gone. I didn't scream. I didn't even tell anyone. I went to school the next morning like normal, but I didn't talk much that day. Something about that moment, what I saw, it stayed with me. It wasn't a dream. I know it wasn't a dream. I've had bad dreams. This was different. This was real. That night, I was too tired to do anything but crash. I remember turning off the TV because I couldn't focus and just lying there. The room was too quiet. I was just about to fall asleep when my bed started to vibrate. At first, I thought it was a small earthquake or maybe the dogs jumped up. But it wasn't that. It was like the frame itself was humming. And then, before I could even sit up fully, something pushed me down. I felt pressure on my chest like someone was kneeling on me. Then a face got inches from mine. I couldn't see it clearly. It was fast, blurry, almost like smoke. But it was cold. Not the kind of cold from a draft or the AC kicking on. The kind that sinks into your bones. And then it was gone. I laid there for what felt like hours. Couldn't move. Couldn't even cry. I just kept blinking into the dark, hoping it wouldn't come back. The next morning, I did everything like normal, brushed my teeth, got dressed. I remember staring out the window, trying to figure out if I was just going crazy. But then I saw something move. A figure running around the house, not walking, not pacing, running. I watched it circle our entire house 3 times in maybe 30 seconds. I thought it was someone playing a prank, so I ran outside in my socks, ready to yell. But when I got outside, it was gone. I mean, gone. No footprints, no sound, and the fence wasn't open. Whatever it was, it had gone through it. That's the moment it clicked. Whatever I was dealing with wasn't normal. It wasn't a dream, and it wasn't done with me. After I chased that thing outside and saw it disappear through the fence like it wasn't even there, I didn't say a word the rest of the day. Not at school, not at home. I didn't know what to say. I couldn't even understand what I'd seen. It didn't stop there. That night I had a dream, but it didn't feel like a dream. It felt more like a place, a real place, somewhere I was taken to rather than imagined. I was walking down a hallway, long and narrow, with mirrors on both sides. I didn't see myself in the reflections, though, not really. I saw different versions of me, older, tired, angry, some that didn't even look human. One of them had those same red eyes. Another one talked to the thing I saw at the window, like they knew each other. When I woke up, I was drenched in sweat and freezing cold. I sat up to splash water on my face, and that's when I saw it. My mirror had cracked. Not shattered. Cracked. A perfect vertical split down the middle, but only on the inside. I ran my fingers over the glass. The surface was smooth. The break wasn't on the outside, and after that, things started ramping up. The dog stopped sleeping in my room. Lucy, the more protective one, would growl anytime she came near the doorway. Bishop would just stop and stare like he was seeing something that wasn't there. One night, I called Lucy in. She stood in the hallway and wouldn't come past the door frame. She just growled, low and steady, the fur on her back standing straight up. The next morning, I found claw marks on the floorboards next to my bed. Not scratches. Marks. Deep gouges. Like something with hands or claws had dragged itself out from under the bed. They were too wide to be from a dog and spaced too perfectly apart. I didn't even show my mom. I just threw a rug over them and pretended they weren't there. I started hearing voices. At first, I thought it was the TV or maybe my siblings whispering, but they were never there. The voices came from behind walls, from under the bed, from the corners of the room. Sometimes they whispered my name. Sometimes they mimicked my brother's voice or my sister's laugh, but it was always off. Like it was trying to sound familiar, but didn't quite know how. One night, the voice came from outside. It was raining, and I heard it through the window. It said my name, clear as day. Eli. I grabbed my old tape recorder and hit record. I wanted proof. I don't know why. Maybe I thought, if I had something real, I wouldn't feel so crazy. The next day, I played it back. It was mostly static, but right in the middle, there was a voice. Voice I didn't recognize. Rough, garbled. It only said one word. Mine. That was when I started locking my window every night, even in the heat. I'd stack books against it, put my dresser in front of it once. It didn't help. The air in my room started to feel different, heavy, like it was pressing down on me. I'd lay in bed and feel something brush my ankle or touch my hair. I started seeing flickers in the corner of my eye, black shapes darting just out of reach. Once I caught a glimpse of something crawling across the ceiling. I didn't look up. I couldn't. I stopped eating as much, stopped talking to people. Even my mom started to notice. She thought I was depressed. Maybe I was. But it wasn't just that. I felt like I was being hollowed out from the inside. It got worse when we found out the landlord was selling the house. Mom was scrambling to find a new place and boxes were piling up. But for the first time in months, I felt hope. Like maybe if we left, I'd finally be free of it. But that last week, that was the worst of it. 3 nights before we moved out, I had another dream or vision or whatever you want to call it. I was in the house, but it wasn't our house anymore. Everything was burned, blackened. The mirrors were back, but this time they were all shattered. And in every shard, I saw the figure with red eyes watching me from 100 angles. When I turned to run, the hallway stretched. I kept running, but the figure was always there, waiting. When I woke up, the mirror in my room had fallen and shattered. No explanation. It had been bolted to the wall. The night before we left, I stood in the living room one last time. I swear I felt something standing behind me. It didn't touch me, didn't speak, but it was there, watching. I whispered, "I'm leaving now." And I heard something whisper back, "I know." We moved out the next day. The new place was different, warmer. The dogs stopped growling. The voices stopped. My hands weren't cold anymore, but I never forgot that house, and sometimes late at night, I still dream of it. Here's the part that scares me most, Tony. Sometimes, in those dreams, I'm not the one being haunted. I'm the one haunting. Thanks for listening. Eli. Insights, paranormal speculation, and a final observation that leaves the listener questioning everything. What Eli described is unsettling, not just for its intensity, but for its progression. It started with passive anomalies, then crept steadily into his dreams, his room, even his body. Cold hands, visual hallucinations, tactile sensations, and a voice that knew his name. From a psychological standpoint, some might point to sleep paralysis, hypnagogic hallucinations, or even early onset trauma responses. Dissociation, perhaps, especially in children coping with family upheaval or isolation. The human brain has a strange way of manifesting fear into form. Night terrors, lucid dreaming, even mirror cracking could be written off as coincidence or a desperate subconscious cry for help. But that doesn't explain the claw marks, since it doesn't explain the voice caught on tape, and it certainly doesn't explain the figure seen outside a second-story window, floating, silent, and staring. If you believe in residual hauntings, this could be the result of trauma left behind in that house long before Eli ever arrived. Or perhaps it's something intelligent, something that saw his sensitivity and latched on. We often talk about haunted places, but rarely do we talk about haunted people. Maybe Eli wasn't the target, maybe he was the doorway. Some might ask, if this was just one house, why does Eli still dream of it? Why does he still hear whispers from time to time? Because when you're marked, it's not always about the place. Sometimes the place is just where it found you. Until next time, keep your lights on.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.